never rest.
Beauty colors in the sky. What a thrilling time to be alive.
Thursday morning. It's the Georgia Show here on the Dogs HQ YouTube channel. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. We appreciate you being here. And we have a lot to get into. It is Auburn week, and the Tigers looming large in a big matchup, 7:30 at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Never an easy task to go in there at that time of the day. Really any time of the day, but especially 7:30 is a wild time in Jordan-Hare Stadium. Jake Rowe, what do you know, buddy?
It's been a long time since Georgia's played Auburn at night there. A lot of 3:30 games in November that, you know, end under the lights. But if you look back, I want to say 2012, which was a 38-0 Georgia blowout at Auburn. Doesn't really speak to the whole, you know, doesn't really speak to that whole, oh, my God, it's super tough to play there. But it is. I mean, it absolutely is. And it's been a long time since Georgia's kicked off there in the evening, and kind of excited about it, to be honest with you. If there is a worse press box in the SEC than Georgia's, it is Auburn's, and it is worse, and it's worse by a long shot. So it's pretty rough. The worst I've ever been in was SoFi Stadium. It was very
really?
Nice. Yeah, it was terrible. It was god awful. Wow. I had to look up under a television that was pointed the other way.
Who was that TV even for?
I don't know. I guess for the people that wanted to like this one behind me back here, you know, like, hey, I'm going to turn around and tell you something that's going on. But it was kind of pointed like at catty cornered. So I think some folks are, I don't know, man, some of those big bowl games like that, they don't treat us right. Okay. They don't treat the local media right. They give all the national spots and all the good spots in the press box to me. I was sitting back there on the third row. Luckily, it wasn't much of a game to watch, but I'm excited about this version of the Deep South's oldest rivalry. It's the tightest point spread we've seen in a long time. I haven't gone back and looked at those, you know, thing by thing. UGASports.com's Patrick Garbin does a fantastic job of that, and he could probably rattle it off the top of your head, the last 10. God knows both of us love Patrick. But this one is pretty tight. And honestly, I think this right here, the injury situation, probably has a little bit to do with it. It wouldn't surprise me if the whole Monroe Freeling thing is, I don't know, maybe a point and a half swing in this when you start talking about your starting left tackle and maybe your best offensive lineman, certainly your most talented and highly ranked offensive lineman, potentially being out. But for now, Jake, questionable. Did that catch you off guard at all?
Yeah, but in a good way, right? I mean, I think that was really the big takeaway. And perhaps it shouldn't have because, you know, Kirby Smart was pretty clear, I think, through the week that this wasn't an injury that was going to require surgery and that there was the potential that we could see Freeling back this week. There is, in my mind, I mean, like you said, he's questionable right on the injury report. I wonder if there's some gamesmanship to the whole thing, you know, I believe it was Rusty who said he saw him coming off the field last week and he was on crutches and looked to be kind of having a pretty pronounced limp. So that didn't sound like a guy to me that was going to be ready for next week. But at the same time, hey, you know, I mean, as long as it's not, you know, tightrope surgery or something like that, you can't rule anything out. And I think that Georgia has been pretty active this season, at least in guys giving it a go and saying, look, let's see if we can roll this guy out there, or at least having the guy waiting in the wings. That's the other thing that you can kind of look at and say, if we start with Bo Hewley, for example, you know, and he's getting work, can we see Monroe Freeling step in there? Were you surprised by the questionable designation?
No, not really. Not as the week went on, you know, not hearing Kirby talk about it. If you'd have told me he'd be questionable for this game on Sunday, I would have said that because, you know, you talk to a lot of different people in the program, and the exact kind of way it was stated to me was on Sunday, someone told me that I really trust. I don't know that Ernest Green doesn't have a better chance to play than Monroe Freeling. And both of them are questionable. And I think Georgia getting Ernest Green back, if he's healthy and he's ready to go, depending on what he's been able to do this week, that would be a boost too, just to at least have him available, right? Like if you wanted to go with six offensive linemen. But, you know, I look at Monroe Freeling like this. Is he the best offensive tackle in the country? No, not right now. He's not. But he was rated a five-star prospect and super high by On3 and Charles Power.
Number one offensive tackle in the class.
Right, because he's a freak athlete. And a lot of times those guys tend to kind of possess some weird healing powers. You know, I mean, you see, you know, Todd Gurley didn't have tightrope and he came back after 3 weeks from a high ankle. Brock Bowers, you know, and I'm no way putting Monroe Freeling on their level as football players, but in terms of his freakish athleticism and, you know, he came in kind of raw, having a lot to learn. He's very, very freakish, super flexible. It wouldn't shock me if he's available for this game, but I have a lot of confidence in Bo Hewley, the football player, the pass protector. You know, I'll say this too. I mean, you know, shoot, Georgia goes into overtime at Tennessee, right? I mean, Bo Hewley he got a lot of praise for his pass protection in the fourth quarter, but in overtime, first play, they run around right in. I mean, run around left in, sorry. And, you know, they run the football in. The couple of those, you know, plays right there in overtime to get into the end zone were kind of right behind that right guard, right tackle spot. So, you know, I know Bo's got some growing up to do as far as running the football. He's not a heavy guy, you know, 295, you know, maybe 300 with a couple of rocks in his pockets. But he's a great pass protector, and I think Georgia will need that. You know, I think Georgia will need that to be good on Saturday, in addition to being able to run the football. And I think they're going to have to find ways to kind of work around that at left tackle, you know, if Bo Hewley's in there, because Auburn's got a good run defense, probably Georgia's biggest test to date, just in terms of that defensive front.
Are you at all surprised that there was no designation for Micah Morris and there continues to be? I mean, he came back in the game, I understand. So, but that poor – I mean, that guy's body's got to feel like it's been through a grinder already this season.
Yeah, it feels like me in my 30s, you know, with two knee surgeries and a bunch of other stuff. Actually, I had my first knee surgery came when I was 28. So, between 28 and 35, I had both knees worked on. You know, it's – tell you, man, the injuries come fast and they come furious for some of these guys. But, you know, broken hand, hamstring, shoulder comes out, still playing. Fifth year senior, brother. Water boy. It's like, the
Coming out worries me about as much as anything, because that can be one of those recurring things, you know, once it starts happening. And so you do kind of got to keep, I think, an eye on that one moving forward.
Put it back.
To me, Jake, when I look at what Georgia's done, though, in the absence of Ernest Green, I could see a situation where I don't know if I immediately want to turn back to him at tackle. I think that, you know, Bo's done a great job there. Juan's done a great job there. To me, he could be the sixth man. And let's say that Micah, God forbid, has another issue with this shoulder, I could see him being a fantastic substitution at the guard spot.
Yeah, I don't know how much guard he's played, but here's the deal. If with Monroe Freeling being hurt, and now you're down to your third and fourth tackles, having him available, I think, is a big deal. You know, having him available to kind of come in there, even if it's, you know, Juan Gaston's had some injury issues too, right? Sure. Like knee, both ankles. He rolls an ankle late in the second quarter. And you got Ernest Green, you know, potentially could pop out there and give them some reps there. You know, Michael Looney really struggled at Tennessee. We haven't seen much of him since. You know, who would you rather turn to, you know, there in that situation? So, you know, I think having him available is not necessarily a bad thing for sure. And, you know, maybe Juan Gaston would benefit from lacing him up with a pair of Brunt workwears, keeping those ankles nice and sturdy. I saw a picture of you earlier this week with those Brunts on, and you were sporting the shorts, brother.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I had been questioning whether or not I had the guts to do it, but I did it.
How did you feel?
I felt like I was, I looked like I had been hiking, but I hadn't. So that was, I guess that was good. I think people thought maybe I was a little more outdoorsy. I'll tell you this. They were super comfortable. I wore them all evening, super comfortable. And primarily why I wore them was because it was raining out, and they are waterproof, and they did a great job keeping my feet dry all the evening. So Brunt Workwear certainly delivers, not only when you are out on the job site, but just when you're hanging out, man. They look good. They're a great looking boot. They're really well made. You can tell that when you put them on. And like I said, the comfort level was crazy to me. They were outrageously comfortable. And that was straight out of the box, man. I mean, it's not like I just kind of took them and broke them in and, you know, bent them up and rolled them in some mud. I just threw them on and walked to town, and they did a fantastic job, did the Brunts. Listen, Brunt was tired of workwear brands out there cutting corners. You work too hard to be stuck in uncomfortable boots that don't hold up. So they built something better, boots that are insanely comfortable and built for any job site or just walking around town. For a limited time, our listeners get $10 off at Brunt when you use code DOGSHQ at checkout. So just head to bruntworkwear.com, use the code, and it is DOGSHQ, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Either that or UGA, but I think it's DOGSHQ. You're good to go. And after your order, they'll ask where you heard about Brunt. Do us a favor and tell them it was from our show. You can always get on there and give them a little feedback. And we would appreciate that if you would shout us out when you get your Brunt boots. But like I said, great, great, very comfortable. And the code is DOGSHQ. Yes. So $10 off at Brunt. So it's the Deep South oldest rivalry. And weird stuff happens in this game, Jake.
Just like happened just now.
Sure.
Me and you talking over each other. This happened a lot in this show. We're missing some chemistry today. It might be a bad sign.
Yeah. No, this was one of those that, you know, look, it's spooky season, right? I mean, it's almost Halloween. And you've seen weird things happen in Jordan-Hare Stadium. You've seen weird things happen in this rivalry just in general. I don't know necessarily that this is going to be one of those games, but I don't know that I predicted it for some of those other ones either. This is going to be, I think, an interesting game, Jake. I know your prediction is still to come over at Dogs HQ, but I did see where you said that this was an Auburn team that you feel is better than the conference record would suggest.
Yeah, no doubt. I certainly believe Auburn is better than an 0-2 team in the SEC. And they've played two really good teams thus far. They've had to play them both on the road. You know, when you look at this schedule, you know, glass half full or glass half empty is you're started 0-2 in the league. Nobody ever wants to do that. Glass half full is you've got four of your six remaining SEC games at home. And that's got to feel really good for Auburn. They get that, you know, they get Georgia at home, they get Alabama at home. You know, I'm sure some other big games at home, and Cam Newton's getting his jersey retired. I mean, there's going to be a lot of juice in that place, just like there was a lot of juice at Tennessee, you know, like, and that's something that I think is a big deal going into this game is that, you know, Georgia's been in crazy environments. They've started slow, dug themselves into a hole in environment. I don't necessarily think that they can do that at Auburn because I think Auburn's better defensively than Tennessee is. Not as good offensively, I don't think. You know, if Georgia ends up, you know, kind of grabbing a lead in the third quarter of this game, or you know, if Georgia ends up kind of grabbing control of the game through the middle eight like it did against Tennessee, I think Georgia's got an excellent chance to win this game because I don't think Auburn is as dynamic offensively, consistent offensively as Tennessee is. But I told Rusty earlier this week, man, the bye week bothers me more than playing this game at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Just having that bye week, because I think Auburn's got some problems on the O-line, like some problems that aren't necessarily fixed by getting some guys healthy. But you get a bye week, you get a chance to kind of hone in on some of those things and really focus on them. Do you make adjustments that last? I don't know. But that first game coming out, when you're kind of fighting for your life in the conference, it's a wounded dog. We're going to get to some predictions for the game, whether you go ahead and share your score prediction or not. But yeah, I look at it from that angle. And Auburn's a dangerous team. They're perfectly capable of beating Georgia, and I predict it to happen in the preseason.
Yeah, yeah. I think that was kind of the hot pick, I think, was a lot of people picked Auburn over Georgia. It felt like in the preseason. I don't know if everybody's feeling as confident about that now, and I think we'll find out what you have to say about that later. But I'm with you. I think I said this on Bill Shanks earlier this week, and I think that it is very crucial to this game. You're not going to run into a more hostile environment than Tennessee. It can only be equal. It's not going to be worse. That was it. You were there. You guys talked about how insane it was to go into, you know, to finish the game the way that you did, to have all the consternation. I mean, watching it, I don't know how watching it in the stadium was, but watching it on TV, when Georgia, when McCray scores, everybody was just kind of stunned. The energy was still so high that no one could kind of believe that it was over in the stadium. And that kind of, I think, spoke to how crazy it had been up until that point. And so, yeah, you know, if you've got to go with some younger guys, right, a Bo Hewley on the offensive line, well, he's done it in an atmosphere like this. You know, Gunnar Stockton has made big throws in an atmosphere like this. So that should, I think, inspire some confidence. I don't think it's an end-all be-all by any stretch of the imagination, but I do think that it matters, and I think it's important. There's also something to be said, though, Jake, where – not that Auburn had like a ton of momentum rolling, but teams also can struggle coming off of the bye as well, because you've had that pause. And, you know, by all accounts, it felt like this offseason and early in this season, there did seem to be some chemistry issues between Jackson Arnold and Hugh Freeze kind of early on. It seemed like there was maybe a little bit of butting of heads going on there.
Yeah, and just offense in general. And I'm not just talking about Oklahoma and Texas A&M, where I don't believe Auburn, you know, converted a single third down between those two games. They played, was it South Alabama or you know, I can't remember who they played there in week three, I believe it was. But they played somebody and they struggled offensively. I mean, it was a very much a kind of a grinded out type of game. I'm trying to look that up here real quick. I'm not as good at doing that and multitasking as some people are in this business. But yeah, they played South Alabama and they won that game. They won that South Alabama game 31-15, you know, and you look at that and you're kind of like, man, a 16-point win. I mean, I know Georgia had that Austin Peay game. They won 28-6. I'll always contend that was, you know, 2-hour lightning delay, you know, weird fumble and injury and all that stuff. Like, you know, Georgia had a death march in that game that covered like 10 minutes. I think, you know, that was a little bit of a weird game, but I can understand why people would be, you know, would have problems with both of those contests. And Auburn, you know, you look at the past three games, it's been 31 points, 17 points, and 10 points. And, you know, again, it's tough to play at Oklahoma Memorial Stadium. It's tough to play at Kyle Field. And Auburn absolutely struggled in both of those environments, but it was in both ball games. So can Georgia go to Auburn and kind of put its best foot forward? You know, that's the key to this game, really. I mean, that's really what it boils down to, is can you go out there, can you play a winning brand of football? And again, I keep pointing to it, and Kirby even alluded to it yesterday on the SEC conference call. The point spreads across college football are tighter than they've ever been. You know, you're seeing – I mean, do you ever think you would see
an Alabama – I was going to say, it's kind of weird to hear Kirby Smart talk about a point spread.
It is, but did you ever think you would hear Alabama, Vanderbilt in a single-digit point spread?
No,
you
know, sure.
In Tuscaloosa? Like, sure. I mean, that one may have actually been 10 points, but still that's still a lot smaller than I would have thought. Now, Georgia-Auburn having a tight point spread at Auburn is not crazy, but it just hasn't been this tight in a while. And yeah. You know, honestly, I also think, you know, Vegas is having a harder time than ever getting it right. You know, you see some of the advanced metrics, some of the S&P plus and yada, 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 all these, you know, kind of, you know, there's a lot of things that have Georgia winning this game by a touchdown or by 10 points. So I certainly see that. And you know, I've looked at those and some of those have been wrong. But this just, I don't know, this is a losable game for Georgia. This is an absolutely losable game for Georgia. But it's also a very, very winnable football game if Georgia goes in there and plays best. And I was talking to somebody earlier this week We got to get to some of our partners here in just a second. And we're going to talk matchups. But I was talking to somebody this week, Jake, and somebody said, what's Georgia great at? And I said, yeah, they stop the run. They're running the ball. I think the real thing that Georgia's great at is Georgia's not really, unless you want to say rushing the passer, which I'm still kind of jury out on that because I don't know how creative they've been or how much they've really emphasized trying to get pressure. But they're not bad at anything. You know, like they can play really good, solid football in every aspect. I mean, not, it's one of those things that's like, you know, they threw the ball great against Tennessee when they had to. They pitched a shutout against Alabama in the second half when they had to. You know, Ty Simpson's getting all the love in the world, and he deserves a lot of it. Like, he's played well. They held him down in the second half to 5.8 yards per attempt and no points. So Georgia can, but will Georgia? My dog just busted in here. So
I've been telling people all week, to me, this feels like the irresistible force meets the immovable object, right? Something's got to give. Either Georgia's pass rush wins or Auburn's offensive line wins. I mean, when somebody has to come out victorious in that matchup, because neither one has been very impressive to this point.
Yeah, it feels like the car with no gas against the downhill slope. Yeah. You know, like something's kind of got to happen here. I know the law of gravity is undefeated, so that one really doesn't work out. But it's that's really what it feels like. It feels like two mules fighting over a turnip, two guys with their dominant hand broken trying to fight. You know. And honestly, like, I don't know how that's, I have no clue how that's going to shake out. Like, sure. There's just no way of knowing, you know. Part of me thinks Auburn kind of, hey, you got the chance to fix some stuff in the, you know, bye week. But then, you know, Georgia's had to kind of, you know, figure it out too, that Georgia can get more creative. That one's fascinating for me.
Yeah, I think that could very well define the matchup. And like you said, it's kind of the weird unknown. We don't really know how to project that coming out. But what we do know is, if you're looking for tickets for Georgia Auburn or any other game for the rest of the season, get over to gametime.co. You can get in and find what's our get in price this week, Jake?
Oh, it's
a lot of tickets for sale.
It's also slim pickings, brother.
Wow, not a lot of tickets for sale in this one. The Auburn faithful said, we will protect our house.
Yeah, your get in price is about $448 via Game Time.
Well, and you got a chance there to see it. That's a different thing you're looking at, Jake. That's Tigers at Bulldogs in Sanford Stadium.
Oh, well, man, how about that?
There aren't very many tickets available for that game.
Yeah, I can't believe some are still available. How about that?
But this weekend at Auburn, a great chance if you're looking to get into a game, use gametime.co, and you can use code ON3 for $20 off. Terms and conditions do apply there, but you get inclusive fees, so you're seeing the price right up front. You get the view from your seat as well. There are a number of advantages to using gametime.co. They get their tickets to you super quick. And as I say every week, you don't have to drag that guy up to the usher to scan the ticket. You know that it's going to be a verified ticket if gametime.co sells it. So code ON3, $20 off your first purchase. Terms and conditions do apply. Get over and get in the game with Game Time.
Boy, that was embarrassing.
I don't even know what they're selling tickets for at that point.
Yes, there's a watch party at Sanford Stadium, and it's expensive.
Listen, you need some great shades. And look, I was talking to somebody the other day. Christmas is coming in a very like a bullet train. All right, go ahead and get your shopping out of the way with some Sun Heist sunglasses. Everybody's going to dig these. Super lightweight, a number of customizable styles. A number of ways that they serve you, the customer, with incredible service. So whether it's the accessory pack, whether it's free shipping on orders over $65, you've got free returns. So try them on. If you don't like them, you can send them back. I don't think that's going to happen. Code DOGSHQ20 saves you 20%, and you can use that every single time you go to sunheist.com. Use code DOGSHQ20 for 20% off.
UGA's best matchup. In this game, where does Georgia have the biggest advantage? I'll go first here. I think it's Georgia's run defense.
Okay.
Auburn, even with Jackson Arnold being the player that he is, as far as a runner, as a quarterback. Auburn has struggled to run the football. Now, a lot of that, if you're just looking at yards per carry, a lot of that has been sacks. They've given up over 20 sacks this season, so that's kind of cut into their rushing numbers. But this Auburn team is not running the ball, not handing it off to the backs and getting what they're used to getting. So, and Georgia's been really good, averaging less than 3 yards per carry, and averaging, you know, well under 3 yards to carry, I believe, the last 2 weeks. I think this is the area, you know, and without the benefit of a lot of sacks, right? Like that, those are kind of two things you're looking at there. I think that's got to be the matchup that you have to highlight from Georgia's favor.
I would tend to agree with that. And then I might take it just a step further and say, I think the best matchup for Georgia is just the front seven versus Auburn's offensive line. I do think that this is the week, if it's going to happen, that Georgia is able to create some problems for the quarterback. I really believe that. I think that Elijah Griffin's a guy who's very close to having like a breakthrough game. You saw his snap numbers. I believe he was tied for the highest snaps on the defensive line last week. Joseph Jonah Janye, been quiet. Gabe Harris, been quiet. It feels like Chris Jones has taken some steps forward in terms of his ability to rush the passer. I think Georgia's going to be able to get home in this one. Auburn will, I guarantee, do the same thing that we've seen from a lot of other schools, which is they're going to try to get the ball out super quick, and rightfully so. I mean, that's the way to do it. But I think because the run defense is so strong that Georgia's going to have the opportunity to force them into some passing situations. And quite frankly, they just haven't been able to keep Jackson Arnold upright in those. I do think that Georgia has the capability to rush the passer, and I think that they have some guys that are ready for that. This is one of those, Jake, and we talked about it. It feels like we're talking about it every week. Elo Madozi is a guy that has the athleticism that you kind of keep waiting on to break through. And I think that, you know, we've talked about the idea that he is still probably adjusting somewhat to the level of this. And somebody even made the point on the board the other day, and God bless our board people that make some fantastic points sometimes. I said he's probably got his head spinning a little bit dealing with the lack of structure around his daily life compared to playing at West Point. He's got a lot of freedom. He doesn't know what to do with it. So I think that, you know, he's a guy I keep waiting on. But like I said, those guys I listed, Chris Jones, Joseph Jonah Janye, Gabe Harris, and then Elijah Griffin, I think that they can create some problems for this Auburn front.
If they can get matched up on the right tackle, that's the battle Georgia needs to win, because Auburn has been really rough at right tackle this season for sure. Worst matchup, again, I'll go first. You know, there's some caveats to add here, but let's say Georgia's not able to get those they're not able to get those sacks and to get that pressure, the back half's going to struggle with this talented Auburn receiver group. And Georgia's faced talented receiver groups this year. I mean, Tennessee has a really good one. Alabama has a really good one. Auburn is just as good, if not better in some ways.
Yeah.
You know, so Cam Coleman, Eric Singleton, I keep forgetting the Simmons kid's name, first name, but, you know, he's a really good player. Perry Thompson, they've got a deep receiver group. One of these things like, hey, if you roll coverage, you're still rolling the dice too. So I think that one's the one that I would be the most worried about.
Do you think that there is a better receiver that Georgia will see the rest of the way or has seen to this point than Cam Coleman?
That's a good question.
I mean, Ryan Williams is his own thing, but I do think that right now, if you asked me to pick, I'd probably take Coleman.
Yeah, the problem is you're dealing with the quarterback – receiver combo,
sure,
there, and Jackson Arnold has just struggled to this point. Like, if he breaks out, he breaks out. Like, I don't know, but he's, you know, that they've had a hard time getting the ball to, you know, both Cam Coleman and Eric Singleton as much as they would like to, you know. And Cam Coleman's super talented. I mean, I don't take anything away from him. He's one of those guys that makes quarterbacks better.
Yeah.
But thus far, neither one of those guys have been able to make Jackson Arnold a strong SEC passer. And if Saturday's the day, it's the day. But it's hard to kind of just say, like, hey, this is when it's coming out. This is when it's going to happen. But, you know, I told Rusty on our show earlier this week, I told him, I said, I would come after, I believe it was on Dogs HQ Plus, I said, I would invite Jackson Arnold to take off a few times. Not because I'm dropping into coverage to make it happen, but I would bring pressure and run him off of that spot, run him to his left where it's harder to push the ball downfield, and just not let him have the time necessary and post up back there to keep him in the pocket so that he can just wait and wait and wait and let those guys, you know, work free.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page with this one. I mean, to me, that's the one that is the most concerning. Is the matchup between the defensive backs and this wide receiver group, because Georgia has been gettable at that in that way. And, you know, you look back, probably the guy that gave him the most problems to this point would be the Brazil kid from Tennessee. That's a guy that compares physically, I think, well with Perry Thompson, right? You know, I don't know that Perry's quite as fast as Brazil is, but you know, that big physical receiver has been a bit of a struggle to this point. You've seen that in practice. So stepping up in that way will be crucial for them. And I do give them a little bit of credit here in that I do think like Ellis Robinson has gotten better week to week. I think that he's continued to improve. The main concern I have, Jake, at this point with the secondary really is outside of the corners. That second safety spot continues to sort of loom large. And I'm shocked a little bit that we're talking about it at this stage in the season. But it's just, to me, an unknown. I don't feel like I have a good hold on who should be in that spot and if it matters, really. And I say that to say, like, there are, you know, I mean, Kyron Jones does some things well. Ja'Cory Thomas does some things well. They don't do everything right. And so that can be problematic for them. And I think that that's something that Georgia's going to have to work on continuously throughout the season. For that reason, I'm with you. Wide receivers versus secondary got to be the main thing that you're looking at.
Yep. And hopefully they don't take a haircut.
But if they do, they can do it with a very nice razor from our friends over at Dollar Shave Club. When you rep your team, don't stop at the jersey. Dollar Shave Club's collegiate razor handles combine grooming with glory, letting students, grads, and fans show their school spirit and style. From the sink to the stadium, shave with school pride. Visit dollarshaveclub.com to grab your college handle today, and go Dogs.
Have you ever used any products from Dollar Shave Club?
I haven't, actually. I need to. I could certainly use a shave. It would probably go a long way to getting me.
You and I could both stand to use a little Dollar Shave Club in our life, no doubt about it. But listen, I did try them a couple of years back, and I was a big fan, man. It was one of the few razors I ever tried that didn't like break me out on my neck. You know, you always make fun of me because I'd keep a...
What neck would that be?
Right. Everybody has a throat, so I'll say on my throat right here. So, you know, I've used it before, and it didn't, you know, cause a bunch of problems. They've got an assorted array of different products you can use there to kind of anti-itch and you know, aftershave and things like that. I mean, they have grown a ton in the past, you know, several years, and it's for a reason. They do an incredible job. And so definitely go check them out. Tell them we sent you, and we would very much appreciate that. Predictions. Give me one that doesn't necessarily have to be the score. But give me a prediction for this game, something you see coming.
I think that this is another game where we will see Josh McCray be a crucial factor. I think that this is another opportunity for him to grind it out and get some hard yards. Like you said, that Auburn defense is not bad by any stretch of the imagination. They've got some good guys up in the front seven. And so the ability to kind of get on the ground and pound it out is going to be very, very prominent, I think, in this game. Chauncey Bowens is certainly capable of that, but that's the exact role that McCray thrives in my opinion. So I think that Josh McCray is a guy Georgia will lean on in this game to kind of just keep things moving along, pushing the chains. I could see some long drives on this game, you know, some 10, 12 play drives to just kind of keep the ball alive and kind of grind it out.
I've got a prediction, and I think it's going to make some Georgia fans excited. Not necessarily because it's coming from me. That should make you unexcited. I think Noah Thomas shows up this week. And I don't always do this, but
Tom Squatch.
Here's the thing. So typically, you know, like it's like Dylan Bell against certain teams, or you know, Michael Johnson back in the day when he played at Georgia against certain teams, he had big games against Auburn. I look back, you know, at last year's game, and you know, when Noah Thomas was at Texas A&M, he had a really big game against Auburn. I believe it was 5 catches, 124 yards, and a couple of touchdowns. You know, does that game have any bearing on this year? No, but there's certainly a matchup deal there with what Auburn does defensively and what Noah Thomas does well, that he can make some things happen. So I think we see something from Noah Thomas, even if it's just like one catch for 28 yards or something like that. I think we see a Noah Thomas appearance. I also think Georgia's going to have to be stubborn with the run game. You know, I think Auburn will do a good job early against Georgia, you know, kind of stopping the run. Again, coming off a bye week and self-scouting, getting your, you know, getting kind of your ducks in a row in terms of run fits and things like that. I think Georgia's going to have to be stubborn and wear Auburn out maybe a little bit in the run game. But those are kind of the two things I point to. And I'm willing to give a score prediction if you are, and I'm willing to give a score prediction if you're not.
I will say I haven't really sat down and worked out my number yet. What I will say is that I do think that Georgia will cover this spread, which is 3.5. And I think that they certainly have the ability to do that. The over under pure bet MGM is 46.5.
Well, I'm taking the under.
I'm sorry. You'll take the under.
I'm taking the under for sure.
That feels like a good number to me though. I mean,
yeah, I agree.
That's a solid line on that. So I will say that I think Georgia covers this spread. And I will also take the under in terms of the over under.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Auburn, they haven't done that in either of their SEC games thus far. And you know, when you consider the fact that Georgia's favored, they're kind of expecting some points out of Georgia for that over under to hit at 46. So you know, that kind of surprises me a little bit. My prediction doesn't get within a couple of points of that. I've got Georgia winning 24-17. I originally thought 24-14, but you know, I kind of, you know, kind of threw an extra field goal in there for Auburn.
I always do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Just try to, yeah, you know, add 3 for the other team, everything you throw in there. But I like Georgia to cover in this game too. I do think this Georgia team is getting better. And I think it's improving as the year goes along. I don't think its ceiling when it plays its best ball is as high as last year's team was when it played its best ball, you know, going to Texas and kind of jumping out to a 23-0 lead because the defense was so dominant. I don't think it has the ability on either side of the ball to completely take a game over, but I think it has the ability to play well and to play steady on both sides of the ball and kind of inch away with this thing as time rolls on. But I do like Georgia to win this game and you know, kind of keep this streak against Auburn going. You know, Auburn hasn't beaten Georgia at home since in Athens since 2005. They haven't beat Auburn at Jordan-Hare since 2017. You know, none of those things factor in. I get it. You know, Kirby's right about that every time he says it. But does Auburn have a little bit of a mental block going on against Georgia? You know, like, I mean, that's something I feel like needs to be considered. I know Georgia's consistently had the better roster, but Auburn's consistently had some opportunities to get itself and keep itself in some games against Georgia, and it's kind of fallen flat. I tell you this, the bye week worries me more than anything else about this, more than Jordan-Hare Stadium, more than the crowd noise, more than Cam Newton's jersey retirement. That bye week, to me, at this point in the season, can be a very, very big deal. Georgia just happened to get its bye week before it played its boogeyman and, you know, was kind of have that, you know, Alabama's got its number type thing, and the Dogs made enough mistakes coming off the bye not to win.
I want you to predict something for me because it's something that has been on my mind, and it's something that several people have brought up to me. If Georgia overcomes Auburn, and let's just look into the crystal ball and say that Auburn loses to Alabama, do you think that this may be the last time Georgia has to face Hugh Freeze at Auburn?
Man, that's a good question. I don't know his buyout information because that's a big deal now. It used to not be a very big deal. You'd have a big booster come in, write a big check and or a group of and kind of, you know, take this thing home and get it figured out. And it seems like now teams are even reluctant to pay buyouts for coaches that are on 2-3 year contracts. And assistant coaches.
Okay. So the buyout is really not that bad. It's 15.4. Now you got to think though, that they are still on the hook for Brian Harsin as well though.
Yeah. I doubt it. I think Hugh gets one more year. But you know, as of right now, Hugh Freeze, one thing that has to linger here is the off season. Is the golf? Is the playing the? Bet you. Let me tell you something. I bet Hugh Freeze is not worried about recording his handicap anymore.
Yeah, I bet.
The media probably bullied him out of keeping up with that handicap from here on out. But also just the kind of tone deaf response he had earlier this year about, you know, hey, making a bowl game would be a big victory, you know. You know, that was kind of tough. So maybe that gets factored into it. But I would, as of right now, if all he loses is to Georgia and Alabama, which if he loses to those two teams, I imagine he's going to drop another one sandwiched in there.
Yeah.
I think as long as he can't kind of keeps that loss total 5 or below, he comes back. But if they have a meltdown at any point, I think he's probably gone.
I will say this, and maybe this was just part of their series, but I never feel good for a guy when I Google Hugh Freeze buyout, and one day ago, USA Today posted contract details, salary buyout. Yeah. So it's clearly on somebody's mind somewhere, even if it's not one of the boosters.
That's right. That's right. 100%. Yeah.
No, it should be a great one, guys. No doubt about it. And also, get geared up to come out and hang out with us at the next stop at Redstone Market and Butcher with Jake Rowe.
That's right. I think me and Rusty both will be out there Saturday, 10:30 a.m. before Georgia Ole Miss. One of two things is going to happen, but Georgia's still going to be alive for all of its hopes and dreams in the college football playoff and all of that stuff. We do know that. Its back may be completely against the wall, or it may have a tiny bit of breathing room, but we're going to be out at Redstone talking about it. 10:30 a.m., Saturday, October 18th, before Georgia takes on Ole Miss. We'll also be at Hotel Indigo the night before that. So, listen, come out to Redstone. You will be impressed. You will like what you see, but you'll also get a chance to hang out with us, and we want to meet you. We want to hang out with you. I've had an opportunity just this morning, actually. I ran into someone that listens to the show, and it's just always great to kind of make, you know, connections with people who listen or watch. And we'd love for you to come out, man. Come out to Redstone, hang out with us. We'll be going at it for, you know, a couple hours out there, spending time with you guys, and have the Dogs HQ tent up. So come hang.
Should be a great time. Guys, get over to Dogs HQ. Make sure you're checking in on the message boards over there. The dog walk always popping off. We had a great thread last night and spilling into this morning about this Bill Belichick stuff over at UNC. It's been a lot of fun to talk about over there. But we're always talking plenty of dogs, too. We'll have you covered on all things Georgia-Auburn this weekend. You can bet your butt on that. Listen, here. Gird your loins. All I know to say, man, you get ready for the Deep South's oldest rivalry, and should be another exciting one. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate y'all.